You're listening to the podcast version of Spark TV, an interview series with the world's most inspiring women in business. These are honest business conversations over a glass of wine to help you shortcut your success in business. I'm your host, Danielle Lewis, three times founder, huge wine enthusiast, and always willing to share all of the gory business details to help you grow your business, no matter what that looks like to you. If you want more spark in your business, check out our membership, Spark 365, for daily business growth tips at sparkfoundersprogram.com. And a huge shout out to Spark TV sponsor, IP Australia, for their amazing support of the Spark podcast and women in business. Amanda, welcome to Spark TV.
Thank you for having me. I'm a little bit excited by this podcast and TV show.
I know, me too. It's, you know, if all I did was talk to amazing women in business like you as a job, I would be so happy.
Yeah, you'd be pretty boring of me though. So let's see how we do.
Well, let's kick off there. Let's tell everyone who you are and what you do.
So my name is Amanda Thompson, and I'm the founder of Endurance Financial, which is a financial planning and financial mentoring service that is really designed to make financial advice both accessible and affordable, in particular to women, to try and bridge the gaps that we all know exist. And I do that by leading by example. I'm a single mum of two girls and run my own business. So I try to share and be as transparent as I can in everyone else's journey as well.
I love it so much because I don't think I was really aware about money things until I started a business, and it was just a rude shock. You know, it's really interesting. And now I kind of reflect to looking back, and I think about my mum, who I'm sure has no idea about the finances. You know, every time she says something, it's like, oh, dad looks after all of that. And, you know, and then it's been, as I said, rude shock going through business, having to learn. I did accounting in high school and I still was like, I have no idea what I'm even looking at here. I don't know. I just feel like it's money is, you know, we need it for everything in life, but it's so mysterious. Why on earth is this the case?
You know, there are so many different avenues we could take on this. I'll start, and I'm sure we'll go down plenty. First of all, there's this thing when it comes to finances, or seeking advice is probably more important, not just finances, is because we, or as a community, or actually as a society, feel that financial planning or financial advice is purely there for the wealthy. And so we will put off, I don't need a financial planner, I'm not in that state, I'm not ready. But you know, the key thing when it comes to finances, it's either emotionally driven by a fear that we have no idea what we're doing, or emotionally driven by a fear that, okay, something's just triggered in me, I'm not going to have enough for retirement, or I'm just making ends meet. And there is nothing associated with that emotion of fear that has any need for an asset base or even an income earning capacity. So we even start with this misconception of, why would I go to someone like Amanda? Yet I'm just starting my business, I'm not ready. So that's one avenue. The second avenue is, as women in particular, and we'll drill down on the women, and let's drill one step further, women in business.
Yes.
Okay. So there's something we do to ourselves. Yes, society helps it along sometimes, but because we've taken this leap into our businesses, we've taken the big breath and we've done it. And often many of us are mums, so we're trying to do both things. We're so determined for everyone else not to think it's just a hobby or a side hustle that we convince ourselves that we have to be absolutely perfect at everything. And when we're not, we'll tend to just close our eyes, put the wool over our eyes and go, okay, I'll deal with that later. You know, my perfect example is social media, putting myself out there It terrifies me because, one, my girls will tell you, mum can't take a photo to save herself, let alone a
Thanks.
selfie, out of the mouth of babes. And so I don't do it. And then I think, oh, can I afford to get someone to do my social media? Do I need social media? And then I take myself down into this black hole. Reverse that, and so many people are so scared and convince themselves that they're not good at finances that they're too embarrassed to go and ask for help in it as well.
I love that you said that because I even just think personally. So I've been in business for 12 years, and in 2020 I started another business, and 2020 was a bit of a time. And I remember at one point I was like, holy bleep word, I haven't done my tax return for this new business. And I was so ashamed. I was like, if I tell anyone, I'm going to prison. Like I was so ashamed. It took me so, I put it off and put it off. It took me so long to reach out to an accountant for help because I was like, if I tell them what I've done, they're going to be like, oh my God, you're such an idiot. They would like the literally the nicest person on the planet. And accountants are there to help you and empower you. And they're like, oh, that's easy. We'll take care of that. And then we can chat about all these other things. I was like, oh, so you didn't make me feel like an idiot. You can just take care of all of my issues and you're going to set me up to do things better in the future. Why did I stress myself out about this for so long? It was just insane.
And then you get this gap, don't you, in this fear of talking about money because we were
Yes.
brought up not to talk about it. And
Yes.
so therefore, if you had have shared that story with other business women at the time, you probably would have heard of, ah, no, I've been there, done that. You're not on your own. Oh, we've all done that. Or, but we don't talk about it.
Yep. It's so fun. Why do you know? Do you think you know why? What is wrong with us? Why don't we? Because I don't know if men have this same. Okay, here's a story. I was sitting at the Formula One like a few weekends ago, and literally, I was sitting there with my husband, and behind me were two guys, two mates, and they were comparing investments. Like, and I was like, listening, and I'm like, wow, I've never had a conversation like that with my girlfriends. What the
They were
hell?
probably really boring in the fact that they were talking about
Hey,
that
yeah, well, that did sound
extreme.
boring, but I was like, seems like something you should talk about.
Although, that's a thing, yeah. It comes down to that fake it till you make it concept. I
Yeah.
think, and we're generalizing, we are generalizing. I think that men tend to fake it till they make it when they come in money, which then women who tend to be more truthful, open, transparent, then get turned off or taken aback by those type of conversations, and we don't feel like we can say, oh, excuse me, I don't understand what you're saying. Chances are that they may not have understood the first time they opened their mouth and said it e either. And I think again, it's this women, we put so much pressure on ourselves, and we've got to start like what we're doing now, start the conversation because in fact, by human nature, we learn by storytelling. We are more likely to learn by someone else's experience because something in our brain switches on and says, oh, this sounds a little bit like me. I'm going to listen a little bit more intently instead of someone just pointing the finger at you and going, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. So, yeah, which makes female financial planners a million times better, generally speaking, than men because. We lead with emotions as well.
I love that so much. So your business as it stands now, what do you offer? Because I went on the website and I saw a book, which is amazing. And then it also looked like there might be self-guided courses and also one-on-one. But what's the structure of your business?
Oh, so the structure of my business, there'll be so many people listening that'll want to reach out to me saying, Amanda, you need help. The structure of my business. It's basically designed to have anyone be able to access me. So yes, there's a book which should be your entry level. I'm not sure if I need someone. I'm going to spend that $40 on a book with a workbook and doing my own self-guided stuff. There's a course, an evergreen course which exists. It's great. But you know, you might as well fork out that little bit more and get a real Amanda sitting in front of you and going through it. So I like to do those traditional financial plans when needed. But as I've just said, we're not always in this place where we need to go and spend money on this whole, Amanda, can you go structure my whole rest of my next 10, 15 years to retirement? What we need is, I'm in the trenches right now. Can you mentor me and let's go down the path of wherever it leads us to whatever I need to do? It could be that I talk about, revenue and how to get more revenue or how to split revenue or how to understand what's going on in your business. Or it could be an understanding of investments and how to start working through, what do I do next, Amanda? Pay off my home, invest in shares, put more in super. Instead of having these unanswered questions, reach out and we'll answer them. That's the way I like to see it. So it's not a one fit all. And I get told off for doing that a lot because we know that, but I've always balked the system, hence starting my own business and really, getting away from the boys' club that is financial planning.
I love it because I think you're right. Like, one of the other things that I think must like holds women back is we do all have our own circumstances, right? And we are all struggling with different things in our business. You're right. Some people might be, I just need to make more money, or I need to make this more scalable, or I'm looking at my zero and I'm like, I don't even know what this means. I do actually love that because it kind of makes it a little bit easier and less daunting if you can just have an open conversation with somebody and say, well, what's going on for you? And then, you're that mentor, that guide, that person that can help them see through the shame or the challenge or whatever they're going through and get that personalized help.
Yeah, let me tell you a story, which is C, storytelling. So sometimes when I do speaking gigs, this is exactly how I start. We go, "Hi, I'm Amanda, single mother, two kids, successful businesswoman, and I've just had a birthday, so I'm 48 years old." Yeah. My superannuation has had its fair share of knocks because I've taken time out of the workforce to have two children. I've also started my own business, so we all know that it's not something we focus on. However, statistics will say that I'm going to live for another 40 odd years, which is 6 years more than a male. And yet, I am going to, by statistics, retire with 43% less superannuation. And what that says to me is I've got to make less last longer. And so, if I don't do something about it, all this hard work that I'm doing to build a future for myself and teach my kids and lead by example is going to get affected. And then I throw this statistic in. Women over the age of 55 in Australia are the fastest growing demographic of homelessness in Australia. Purely,
What?
So I'm 48 years old. If I didn't have my bleep word, like I'm going to follow your, if I didn't have my bleep word together, that's not far away from me, And so, I can't stress enough that something I may have said in my little story there could have resonated with someone, but I guarantee my story is not exactly the same as the next person. And so you really need to figure your own bleep out and often get someone to help you do it.
You are so spot on. It does blow my mind how much women will also put everybody else first. And that's such a powerful statistic thinking about, women like, and 55 isn't old. Hello, hold up, hold the phone. This is not old. That's like, yeah, that's blowing my mind that that is the fastest growing group in Australia becoming homeless. Like, holy shit, that is not old and really freaking scary. And also, they still have kids potentially at home. Like, that's huge.
And we've all heard and seen in the newspapers the cost of living is increasing. So that
Yeah.
is increasing. And I feel that it's probably the best example, as scary as it is, of the gap that exists for
Yeah.
when it comes to money, because we are chasing generational gaps. We cannot deny that, and I can't, I always get this wrong, but I'm sure it's 1952, maybe it was 1956, the marriage ban was lifted. In other words, I don't know if you know about this, but you weren't allowed to work as a woman if you got married until 1956. And so if you put all that together, you can see that women are still playing catch up. And if we don't start to do something about it now, our kids will still be playing that catch up.
Yeah. It's really scary. So how did you get into this? So you, was there a career beforehand? Like, how did you go, I am solving this problem, this is so important to me?
I was both lucky and unlucky enough to spend 10 of my first years in financial planning at two of the major banks. And it was back in the day where I, in a national team of 23, I was the only female and 10 years younger than the next person.
What a combination.
I know, right? And then I became a single mum. And so there was all of these issues around Amanda being in this group. And so, and then the story gets probably less exciting. I actually had a heart attack at the age of age 34. So not long after I became a single mum, I had a heart attack and spent time in ICU and then in the cardiac ward. And my boss at the time was only worried about getting all of the information that was in my head about all of these clients so that he could keep his revenue flowing in to the business. And I just went, I am not working for an organization like that, that doesn't value what I value in life. And plus, what they decided to do is once I got better, say, well, no, you don't have capacity to work where you work anymore. Took all my clients off me. And I was just like, no, you can go bleep word the hell away from me.
Yes, good. I'm glad. Yes.
So then I spent time in a couple of boutique practices, and one in particular I just loved, but ended up at another one. And true story, I have lots of true stories. None of my stories are fake. I had a client who came to me because he was dying. So he had two young boys, a wife, and he wanted advice on how to set himself up because he knew that, you know, he had 6 months to live. He lasted 18, but when I structured everything, the owner of the business I worked at that point in time, again, just seemed to be so focused on the revenue that was coming in. And so I went, I just cannot do this anymore. I am going to make financial planning the way that Amanda does it. That client, the wife, she retired this year, and I said to her, I'm more excited about you retiring than my mother, because we have been on a journey together, and I'm still looking after her. I am still looking after her kids, and she won't be listening to this anyway. So when Paul passed away, I visited him in the hospital probably 2 hours before he passed away. And he said to me, it's been a privilege. I'm so glad you left where you were working. And can you please promise to look after my family? You'll read this in my book, because it's a real pivotal point of me knowing, you know, those metrics in life. I know I'm damn good at what I do, and I know I care so much that you know people who work alongside me are lucky to have me in that sense. So that's the story of my Endurance Financial was born.
Well, you're making me want to cry, so oh, that's so beautiful, isn't it? It's just, but, and I love that though, like, it's such a testament to, you can run business in a way that is aligned to your values. And, you know, and look, I appreciate that, you know, some of these big wig jobs come with big salaries, but I am a firm believer that you can exceed those big salaries and still build a business that is impact led, that is values led. I'm just so passionate about that you actually love getting out of bed for.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we did not pre-talk about this nor practice this. And you've hit the nail on the head when it comes to money. Because whatever you do with money shouldn't be linked to a money goal. It should actually be linked to how you want to feel, all those personal goals. It's the same thing, jumping into your own business. You know, yes, we know it costs money to live and you do have to work through that. But you are more likely, like running a running race, yeah, you are more likely to get to the end if you know exactly the emotion that you're chasing or that personal goal you're chasing. You're more likely to create the habits to get you there. Whereas if it's just a monetary goal and you don't think like that, don't keep the habit.
God, that is so true. It's like, yeah, it is not the dollars in the bank. It's what that gives you. Yeah, the freedom, the flexibility, the I want to pick up my kids at 3 o'clock. I want to, you know, get them off to school. I want, if there's this beautiful woman I follow online and she was comparing her business 12 months ago to today. And she's like, you know, 12 months ago, my daughter was sick and I had all of these Zoom calls booked and I could hear her crying in the next room and my business didn't give me that freedom and flexibility. So she's like, that's the moment that I decided to change the way my business was structured. Fast forward, the daughter was sick and she's, you know, sitting there binge watching Frozen because that's the business she's built. And, you know, neither of those scenarios are money. The money is the vehicle that, you know, allows us to live these lives that we want to live.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, Fiona Johnson from Peach Business Management. So I'm stealing something from her. So I'm going to credit to her. Someone was telling me once about when she runs seminars, she puts this photo of a shovel up and says, "What's that?" You know, and what comes up and people go, "Oh, digging," you know, rah, rah, rah. And then she puts a photo of money up and they say, "What's that?" And, you know, use some words to describe it. And she basically says at the end of the day, they're both just tools.
Mm.
What you want.
Yes.
And I love that. And I love that. If you don't follow Fiona at Peach, you should.
I love that. I love that. So what was it like for you then transitioning from other people's businesses to building your own?
You know, I planned because as I said, I was a single mum. So I was purely responsible for making ends meet in my house. I couldn't just go, "Oh yeah, here we go." So I saved.
Awesome.
I saved. It was a goal. So it was a personal goal that I linked a monetary value to.
Nice.
And basically I had 6 months worth of what I needed in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I did my business plan, all of those things. And I decided I had 6 months to make it work. And, you know, my hard work and who I was paid off because clients followed me and I didn't dip into that 6 months saving once. My business thrived purely because I backed who I was. And I know not every business is like that, but, you know, I didn't just go, "I'm going to start my own business," and I left. So it took me time and it was hard work to save and make the jump. But I wanted to, that was again my choice. I didn't want to do it as a side hustle and very hard to do what I do as a side hustle when I'm already in the industry. But, you know, it could have mean that you do your side hustle or you transition out of things, but you have to figure out what it is that you need to survive financially so that you don't just jump ship. Because again, when you put all that pressure on yourself, there's so many women I see that have done that and they'll say, "Oh, I just need to go get a job now, man, and my business isn't," you know, and we work through it. And also sometimes it actually you might need to if you haven't done it properly. It doesn't mean you're failing. It just means that things take time and things take time when you're a service-based business in particular and cost of living is hard. People aren't necessarily flocking out to go and pay for your services.
Yeah, it's such a good point because I remember, so when I first started my other business, Scrunch, a decade plus ago, it was the trend to just dive in, you know, to burn the bridge. And you know, there was a lot of rhetoric around, you know, being all in and all this stuff. And I just reflect on that. And I wouldn't do it. I would never advise anybody to do that now. I just think, you know, there is nothing wrong with having a safety net, whether that be staying in your job and transitioning to, you know, part-time and then, you know, a day a week or whatever it might be, or saving the nest egg. So you've got 6, 12 plus whatever the runway is for you. I just think that's the best advice, because there is no need to put that financial pressure on yourself, you know, and I feel like financial stress is one of the worst.
Oh, it is. And it's one of
it's
the
paralyzing.
Reasons. Well, couples break up because of it too.
Yeah.
So I did it as a single, but if you're going to do this as a couple, yeah, it could be that, you know, these conversations, the goals, well, I come back to, it always comes back to goals. Yeah. If you and your partner don't have an intimate understanding of each other's goals, doesn't mean you have to have every single one of them the same. But you need to have an understanding, because it might be that as a partnership, you decide that they're okay, we're going to give this X amount of time and I'll support the family while you do this. It still comes from conversation, transparency, and sometimes delving into that difficult part, which is talking about money and, you know, who's paying for what, or how far can we take this?
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any advice if somebody might be struggling to have a money conversation with, whether it be their partner or, you know, even maybe a co-founder of a business or anything like that?
I do this a lot, and this isn't meant to be a spruik for my book at all, but in my book, and what I do with clients is I actually go through this goal setting, and instead personal goal setting. And if I'm dealing with individuals that are in a partnership, whether it's businesses or things, I say, go away and do your own. Go away and do your own, and then come back, yeah, and talk about them, because you may actually find that you do have some that are aligned. Yeah. Or you're both striving. If you're a business partners, you could be both striving for something or the same type of feeling. So you've got to find the commonality to then have that easy discussion. And then the other part of money conversations is inclusivity. So, you know, it should be, if any relationship you're in, yeah, if, for me, it's with my children at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's we. It's not me. It's not I. I'm 17 and 21, my girl. So who am I to say, I want this for you now, I want that? You know, it's like we need to, or we. You know, it's, you really need to use inclusive language when we're talking about money, so that we're not poking any bears or hitting any really sore points for people.
Oh, I love that. I found that really, like, personally difficult when I got into my current marriage. How I was supposed to say that. But, you know, because my husband came with a house and a share portfolio and all of these things. And I felt really like, and, you know, he has a job and I have a business. So we kind of come from two different worlds. And I found it really hard to get on board the we train, you know, because I felt like I wasn't contributing as much to the partnership. And he, to his credit, he's, you know, he's amazing. That's why I married him. But one of those people who is, no, it's our house and it's our this and it's we, and it's, and I, you know, found it so hard to get there because I didn't feel like I was enough or I was bringing enough to the table. And yeah, but it's interesting, I think, even for him, if I think about on my side, like me not being willing to have to meet him, like within the wee conversation, that was not great on for him either, you know. He, like, I'm sure he felt like, why doesn't she feel like this is a partnership, you know? So I kind of feel like we have to set aside maybe the way we feel about our current circumstances.
And then if we took you back to that point, can I use your example?
Please, so please.
We took you back to that point again and we went down what your goals and what your needs are at that very moment in time. One of your goals may have actually been, I really want to feel as if I'm contributing to this,
yeah,
or I want to feel less anxious about me contributing, you know. So it may have been one of your goals was that. And had you come to the party, each of you with your own separate goals, and you would have said that's one of your goals, it'd be like, I'm admitting something here, but it's really important to me that I address this because I want my business to meet there or do this. See how there was not a monetary thing attached to that need or that emotion to
Oh my God. Totally. And isn't it hilarious how like the not saying it keeps you in that state of contraction and not coming up with a solution versus, and I actually love how you reframe. So I was like, I'm not enough. I feel like I'm not bringing enough to the table. And you're like, you reframed it to my goal is to feel like this. And it just takes away all the heaviness and all of the self-judgment from it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, when I use examples like that, it see how we get so drilled into that we have to have money goals, like a six-figure business. And, you know,
oh, yes.
It's one of my pet hates because you could have a six or seven-figure business, but it's what you're doing with the surplus that truly counts. Or are you happy? Are you reaching your personal goals? Because you may have a seven or even eight-figure business and one of your goals is to spend more time with your family. Well, I wonder if you are.
Well, and the thing that annoys me about that as well is like the profit conversation, right? You know, how much it's costing people to have these flagship revenue numbers without being really honest about what they're taking home at the end of the day.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to your own goals. So for me, I talk about this as retirement for me or one of my goals, because I can't see myself retiring because I am one of those people that get up every single day loving what I do. But in a perfect world, I would love to be able to pro bono twice a week, you know, for domestic violence, education, things like that, or women who just can't afford. So I'd love to, but I also have a family that I need to support. So if you look at that want, I would love to do that. Then I put that method in, well, how do I get there? Well, I've got to be able to earn a full-time wage or have enough money to make that passive income to allow me to work 3 days so I can go give two of my days away. But that's my own goal. It's not your goal. It's not, you know, and so the other flip side of that is time and flexibility, and then that conversation you have to have of what I deem sacrificial spending, mindful spending, sacrificial spending. Yeah. Is what are you willing to not spend on to get what you want? I don't like the word budget because, again, I like to balk the system. I was never good at discipline at school. You tell me what to do, I'll probably go the opposite way. Yeah. But if you put me in control of it, I'm happy. So if you say to me, Amanda, if you want to get to here, you need to find X amount of money, as opposed to restricting, don't spend on alcohol, Amanda. Well, I like alcohol. Amanda likes alcohol.
Reach. Yeah.
You know, but maybe I don't need to drink four times a week. Maybe to know I'm joking.
Don't worry. It's a safe space.
You know, or maybe I don't need the $70 bottle. I might buy the $30 bottle, you know, but it comes from the mindful understanding of what you're striving for. And if I come full circle, you know what goal you're trying to achieve. You might go, okay, well, I'm going to save $60 a week by sacrificing my alcohol.
Yeah. There's this great quote. It was like, never give up what you want most for what you want right now.
Yep.
But it's if you don't actually sit down and ask yourself those questions about what the goal is and what you want more of in your daily life or in your business or whatever, you can't get into the tactical of, well, this is what I am willing to give up now, or this is what I am willing to do extra now in the short term to achieve that long term. So I just love that. Like, ask yourself better questions.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and just, so being kind to yourself does involve getting on top of your finances.
Yes.
You know, we talk about personal development a lot, and you talked about money being a stressor in life. So doesn't it make sense that getting on top of your money or deleting that stress in life is actually personal development?
Totally. I just believe so strongly that, you know, when we bury our head in the sand, especially about something like finance, which can be the biggest cause of stress, it's just so detrimental to our health, our relationships, our business. And it's usually worse in our heads than just sitting down, punching out the spreadsheet, calling Amanda and saying, hey, can we go through what's going on in my life? And having someone like you go, you know what? Like, it's not, it's cool. It's not that bad. This is how we get on course. You know, what is the long-term vision? How are we going to structure things to move towards that goal? It's usually way worse just, you know, sitting in our heads, like taking up space because we just haven't addressed it.
Yeah. Or we're so scared what the answer is going to be, you know, and the right person will never tell you. Like, I'll always be honest, but I won't just stop it. Oh, no, it's not looking so good at the moment. To how do we make it look better?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, so good, Amanda. You are incredible. Let's leave the Spark community with one last piece of advice. So, reflecting on your time in business, what would be a piece of advice that you would give another woman in business to help her on her journey?
Well, it's an easy one for me. The true definition of independence is knowing when to ask for help.
I love that. Yep. That's incredible. I hope that whoever is listening to this right now asks for help.
Yeah.
You are amazing, Amanda. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom and your insights. I know everyone listening in would have gotten a lot of value out of that. So I know I did personally. So I'm stoked to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always awesome.
That wraps another episode of Spark TV. Thank you so much for listening. I hope there was something in there that you needed today to help you on your business journey. We would absolutely love it if you subscribed and leave a review. This helps the Spark podcast find its way to other amazing women in business. If you want to hang out with us even more, join Spark 365 and you'll have me show up in your inbox every damn day with a business growth tip. Check it out at sparkfoundersprogram.com. Shout out to Spark TV sponsor IP Australia for their amazing support of the Spark podcast and women in business. And if no one tells you today, you've got this.